You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
So this is my my fancy laptop that was given to me, donated to me by a good friend of mine, and it's nice. It's all metal and skinny and small, and it's cool. But I don't know if you have a laptop, if you have a Windows computer, because Windows, of course, is what most normal people can afford, and then you've got like fancy, awesome Mac people. And someday, I hope to be an awesome Mac person. Am I really loud? I feel like I'm really loud. Maybe it's just the lighting. So a fancy, awesome MacBook I don't have. I'd love to have that someday. But I have this nice Windows PC, and Windows 10 has this nifty little thing. It's called Focus Assist. Have you heard of this? Here's what, like, if you have Windows, like, this is what it would be over. Your notifications bar on the right side, you have to, like, click that little thing in Windows 10. And then it's right here. Circle it for me there, if you would. There we go. Focus Assist. There's this thing right there, and it's got a little picture of a moon. And Focus Assist is this thing that you can enact. If I were to click on that, and that's a nice website. You should check it out sometime. If you click on that, what it does is it'll do a couple of things. There's multiple levels of what Focus Assist does. One level is it just cancels any notification. It'll stop any notification and kind of hold it so that you can stay focused on the task in front of you. And so no notifications come through. There's another level of it that actually cancels alarms and anything else so that you don't get bothered at all. So, you're sitting down to do your work project, you're sitting down to do a school assignment, and you need to, you need to do it. And there's so many other things that you can look at and click on and all that. And so you click, turn on Focus Assist so that you can stay focused on what's in front of you. And there's actually, I don't know if you call it aftermarket, but there's apps you could buy, you can download, that'll even take it to the next level, where they will keep any other windows from popping up or anything else from opening on your computer. There's some that will even actually literally dim everything else on your screen so that the only thing you see is the window that you have open. And Focus Assist is designed just for what it says, to assist you in focusing, to get rid of all the other things that don't matter and change your perspective so that you're able to focus on what does matter in front of you. And MC3, I want to give you guys today a little bit of Focus Assist. I want to take a moment to click that Focus Assist button on our lives and get rid of the other things that don't matter and change our perspective, because sometimes we're focused on things that don't matter, that are not what we're supposed to be focusing on, and we think they're the most important thing, but they're not. And so we're going to click the Focus Assist button. You can't say that five times fast. Focus Assist button now, so that we can focus on some things that matter and get some perspective on things that are right, and rather than some of the things that don't, some of the things that are distractions, some of the things that, frankly, in our world, in our culture, and let's just be honest, in our church, are things that we think are important. But when you look at God's word, you're like, whoa, wait a second. This isn't the most important thing. This isn't the priority. So we're in this series called Fences. And this we've been talking about for the last 2 months is the idea of creating fences, creating boundaries in certain areas of our lives, so that we're saying, you know what, these are things that I'm not gonna get into that because it's a line I don't want to cross. It's an area that I don't want to go into. And on the other side of the idea of a fence keeps things inside the fence that do matter. And the very first week of this series, of course, we talked about the cage and why zoos have fences and cages and all of those enclosures to protect you from the danger that is there. And that's what fences are designed for. These boundaries that we've been talking about, and we talk about all sorts of different things, parenting, sexuality, we've been talking about friends, we've talked about a bunch of different areas in our lives where we need to build these boundaries so that when we don't have to worry about, I mean, I don't say worry, that's the wrong word, but we can say, okay, this is a boundary, and because this boundary is here, I'm not going to get into something that I shouldn't. I'm going to avoid this friendship that's going to bring me down. I'm going to not get caught up in sexuality in a way that is not honoring to God. And so that's what fences are about. And so today I want to talk about the finance fence, the money fence. And again, using this idea of focus assist, because what has happened, I think, in our world, and again, even in our church and in here, like for us, is that somehow our culture, our world has shown us, that the most important thing is money. And I'm sure you're like, well, no, of course it's not the most important thing. Jesus is. And we're actually going to talk about Jesus next week. We don't talk about him other times. But I think that we've gotten caught up in some of these side things that are distracting us away from the things that really matter. And again, this focus assist idea is saying, okay, let's zoom in on what really matters in our lives. And so let's look at, this is the point, and that is that fences in our finances protect our investments for eternity. And when I talk about finances today, I mean fence finance. It has that alliteration thing, and don't worry, I get into it some more later. but really, I'm not just talking about, you know, what is in our checking account or what is in our wallet, but just kind of the whole package of money and stuff and things and that pursuit of all of that. And the problem is our culture, and it seeps into our lives so sneakily, I think that's a word, and that says, you know, this kind of is important. You know, this does matter. And all along, we're investing in something that's just disposable. And we're going to talk about this in a little bit, but the idea of, you know, like a paper towel that you carry around to use whenever you need to dry your hands. Like, no, that's disposable. It's designed to be thrown away. Now, we can talk about the weird flip side, like the handkerchief thing. Like, I think those things should be thrown away. You have someone, and maybe it's a generational thing. I remember my grandfather used to always have a handkerchief, and he'd pull it out and blow his nose and get all that crud, and then stick it back in his pocket for safekeeping for later. But anyway, the idea of some things that are temporary, they're disposable, and there's some things that are eternal and that matter forever. And so we're going to look at this passage in Matthew, and the house lights are going to turn on. If you have a paper Bible, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 6. If you have the YouVersion app, of course, Matthew is at the very beginning of the New Testament. If you want to scroll through that list, tap there, tap on 6. And we're going to be at 19 through 25, and we're going to go through this like with a microscope. It's like pulling nits out of a hair with lice. Like, we're going to go way into that. Doesn't that bring up some good memories? Yeah, that's fun. Ooh. That's the nice thing about, like, we have two girls, we have two boys. If the girls get lice, it's like, oh, no. If the boys ever get lice, it's like, okay. So, anyway, let's stay on focus here. So we're going to talk about this passage in Matthew chapter 6. And this is Jesus speaking. That's why it's in quotes there. Depending on your Bible, you might actually have this in red, because these are Jesus' words. This is also often referred to part of the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus says this: don't store up treasures here on earth, where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. No one can serve two masters. Either, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God, serve God and be enslaved to money. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? And so looking at this passage, again, we're going to break it down because there are a whole bunch of comparisons here. And Prime Group leaders, you got your discussion guide last week for this. This is where you might want to take notes just to clarify that one question. You're like, what is he talking about? This is what he's talking about. And I want to talk about a fence for focus. Because there's things that, again, drawing this idea of a fence, of a boundary, saying these are things that are important and these are things that are not. These are things that matter, and these are things that don't. And so that's what we're going to talk about, things that matter, and then build a fence between that. You like my little white picket fence there? It's not a train track. You'll notice that one side is squared off, but the other side is pointed. Clearly not a train track. If it was a train track, both sides would be square. Just to be clear here. So you're building a fence between things that matter and things that don't. And so we're going to look at this passage, and again, with a fine-tooth comb, with a nitpick comb. And but the first thing is looking at something that doesn't matter. And one thing that doesn't matter is disposable things. Disposable things don't matter. That is the point of a disposable item. That is why you don't keep your toilet paper. Ah, now we're getting free. Yeah, right? Like, no, it's disposable. It's designed to be thrown away. It's designed to be gotten rid of. And you don't keep it. I mean, right now we're in the middle of redoing our kitchen. And so we have been eating out of disposable plates and paper bowls. And a paper bowl, like, it doesn't last very long. You get one, you know, if we wanted to keep it and go for like a second meal, maybe. But by the third meal, you're like, it's just mush because it's disposable. It's not meant to be kept. And there's things that are disposable. And Jesus says, look, don't spend your time on disposable things. Don't invest your effort, your energy, your money, your resources, your life on things that are meant to be thrown away. And that's what he says here in the first part of Matthew. He says, don't store up treasures here on earth. Don't store up treasures here on earth. Interesting thing is that the Greek word here for store up, because this was originally written in Greek, is thesaurizo, where we get the word thesaurus. And it's the idea of gathering things together, a collection of things. And he says, don't collect treasures here on earth. Don't make sure that your effort and your energy and your focus isn't on collecting things here on earth. Why? Because moths eat them and rust destroys them and thieves can break in and steal them. Like, whatever you're investing in, it's not going to last. It's disposable. It's temporary. So don't invest. Don't store up. Don't gather these earthly things, because these earthly things, no matter how awesome they are, no matter how great the warranty is, it eventually is going to disappear. It is eventually going to waste away. Now, I've got a close friend here in the room, and he often provides toilet paper for our family. And let me just say, dude, it's good stuff. Like it's like, ooh, that wasn't so bad. Like, it was pleasure, you know. It was like extreme, but you know, it was like, this is nice. But when we're out, and I'm supposed to tell him when we're out because he gets on my case when we're out. But we go to the grocery store and we buy the cheap stuff, and there's a difference. There is a distinct difference. Like, and distinct might be the word. Like cheap stuff is cheap. And even the nice fancy toilet paper, as nice as it is, as double layered quilted, And extra effervescent for scent or whatever, even that is still temporary and disposable. And that's the thing. Like, even the nicest things here on this earth, if we're spending our time collecting and gathering those things that are disposable, it's just like saying, oh, well, it's really high quality toilet paper. No, it's not. So Jesus says, don't do that. Instead, focusing on something that matters. He says the things that matter are eternal things. Things that matter are eternal things. Why? Because they're going to last. They're going to continue forever. That's what eternal means. And so he says there in the second part of the verse there, or the next verse, I guess you'd say, he says, don't store up treasures on earth, where thieves break and steal. Store your treasures in heaven. Make sure your value, your investment is in heaven, is in things that matter. Why? Because in heaven, moths cannot destroy them. Rust cannot destroy them. Thieves cannot break in and steal those things. So if we're investing our effort, and again, this is just like no-brainer stuff. In real life, like, if you're going to get something, you want to get something that's going to last. If you're going to invest your money and your time in it, you want to get something that's going to last. But if you're not, it's kind of pointless. Why would you spend your money on something that's just temporary? And Jesus says the same thing. Like, look, if you're going to take the time, invest your effort, invest your energy in something that's going to be eternal, that will not waste away, that will not rust, that will not be destroyed, because even the best things will. So he says, Invest your time on things that matter. Focus on those things. The second thing here is that we need to focus on. Another thing that doesn't matter is your stuff. Don't invest your time in your stuff. There are things that matter and things that don't. And your things don't matter. And this is what Jesus says then in the first part of 21. He says, for wherever your treasure is, your treasure, your theosarizo, your collection, your gathering of your things, he says, you can invest in your stuff. He said, but wherever your treasure is, then he says the other thing we're not supposed to invest, or that we are supposed to invest in, and that is in our heart. Something that matters is our heart. So Jesus says, don't spend your time, focus here, spend your time on things that matter, and the matter here is your heart. He says, wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be. So what's Jesus saying? He says, look, the things that you invest your time in are where your heart is going to follow. And we can say, no, I love Jesus with all my heart, but if you work your tail off making money for the money's sake, you can say your heart all you want, but your heart is with your money. You can say, I love church, I love gathering, but if your focus is your job, you know, you can love it all you want and say it, but where your heart is where it's going to matter. You can say you love your family, but if you're more interested in that shiny, shiny new car, then your heart is with your car and not with your family. The point Jesus is making here is like, look, don't kid yourself. You can say all you want, but where you focus your energy, your treasures, that is where your heart is. And so Jesus says, look, your treasures, your stuff, doesn't matter. What matters is your heart. Your heart is the most important thing. So the things that don't matter, your stuff. Things that do matter, your heart. And the next thing that doesn't matter, actually we're flipping it around this way, sorry. The thing that does matter is your perspective. Your perspective matters. How do you see life? How do you see the world? How do you see your things? How do you see your money? How do you see your time? Jesus says your perspective is very important. Your perspective matters. And that's what he says in the first part of 22 here. He says, excuse me, your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. He says, look, your eye is like a lamp. You see, and all these things that you see come in through your eye and are processed by your brain, and therefore you interpret what you see and what you enjoy and all of that. And certainly if you're colorblind, for example, you couldn't tell perhaps that people are wearing green today because you can't process that. And he says, when your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. When your eyes are working the way they're supposed to, you can see everything. Everything is perfect and crystal clear, HD, you know, 4K, whatever. Your whole body can process that. So he says, make sure you're focusing on your perspective, because how you see things affect everything else. And this is the second part of it. The thing that doesn't matter is your appearance. Remember, we're going to be going fast on these. Your appearance. All right, so your appearance doesn't matter. See, oftentimes we're like, you know, what counts here? Is this a big deal? And Jesus goes on the second part of this chapter here in verse 23 and says this. He says, your eye is like a lamp that provides light for the body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. What he says here is, look, our perspective matters. And are we worried about are we looking at how we see things appropriately? Or are we looking about how other people see us? And he says, if your eye is healthy, you can see everything great. But if your eye is unhealthy, you can't see that. And then this last part, he says, and the light you think you have is actually darkness. How deep that darkness is. What Jesus is saying here is, look, is if your perspective is messed up and you think that these earthly things are what matter, if you think that these things are the most important thing, you've got a bad perspective. And he said, if you've got a bad perspective, it's even worse because we think it's okay. That's what Jesus is getting at here. He says, look, if our perspective is on this earth, if our perspective is on things that don't matter, we are often deceived. Especially, he's talking to, you know, there's people around him at this time, his disciples, his followers. He's saying, look, if you think that these things matter, and they don't, you're even worse off because you're like, it's okay, God's cool with this. And he's not. Do you get that? He's saying, look, what we allow our perspective to be, if our perspective says, you know what, this thing is eternal, this is what I'm going to spend my effort and energy in, versus this thing over here that's not, that's temporary, that's disposable. And if I'm looking at this temporary, disposable thing saying, oh, no, this is important, Jesus is like, oh. He's like, I pity the fool. Like, how sad it is for a person that's pursuing the wrong things and their perspective thinks that it's right. And again, this focus assist, because in our world, in our culture, I think we've got this idea like these things aren't that bad. These things kind of matter. And we end up pursuing these things. And Jesus is like, no, you're wrong. They don't matter. And it's even worse because you think they do. How awful. How bad that is. How deep that darkness is. So, things that matter, things that don't. Your appearance, how people see you doesn't matter, but how you see things definitely does matter. The next thing that I don't remember which one we're going here, don't matter. Slavery. Your slavery. That, you know, you probably don't want to be a slave. Actually, Kirk prayed about that. You didn't see my notes. Did you download them from the cloud beforehand? But slavery, like, we don't want to be slaves. We don't want to be caught up in something. And that's what Jesus says then in Matthew in verse 24. There's so many verses here. He says, no one can serve two masters. He says, you can't serve two masters. You understand here, Jesus is building a case here. It's not, these aren't all independent thoughts. These are all on the same topic. He says, no one can serve two masters, for you're going to hate one and love the other. And those are two extreme words, the word hate and the word love. They're very distinct Greek words and English words. He says, you can't follow two masters. You can't be under the leadership of two different masters. And I don't know if you've been in a situation like this where you've got your boss and then your boss's boss. And if your boss does something different than your boss's boss, what are you supposed to do? I mean, ultimately, it comes down to your boss's boss because he's your boss's boss. Yeah. But if you've ever been in that spot, like, who am I supposed to follow? Who am I supposed to obey? Students? Kids? Mom says this. Dad says this. What am I supposed to do? Because we can't do that. We can't pursue these two things. We can't follow these two things. And Jesus says, stop being a slave to things that don't matter. Because you're going to hate one and love the other. You can't be like, well, I'm cool with pursuing Jesus, and I'm totally going to pursue the stuff of the world. I'm going to pursue money. I'm going to pursue my things. Jesus says, no, you can't. You can't do it. You can't even kind of slightly. You're hate or love or hate, which is what he goes on here. He's kind of splitting hairs a little bit. The thing that does matter is your freedom. Your freedom in Jesus. And then that's what he continues on saying in this verse here. He says, you will be devoted to one and despise the other. So he said, you're going to love one and hate the other, or you're going to be devoted to one and despise the other. He says, you can't do them both. You can't be a slave and be free. You can't follow Jesus and this world. You can't pursue money and pursue Jesus. You can't do it. Don't be deceived. Don't let your eyes be darkened to think that, oh, that's cool. I can do a little bit of this and a little bit of that. You can't. Jesus says you cannot. Don't be deceived. You cannot serve two masters. It's going to be one or the other or the one. Don't miss out on that. Focus on things that matter, and that is your freedom and following Jesus, because otherwise you become a slave. The next thing here Jesus says, and of all the people that can say this, is something that matters is your Savior. Jesus is someone, is something, if you will, that matters, that we should invest our effort and our time and our energy in. In the verse 24 here, second part, I mean, you know what I'm saying about the verses here, because we're going through the whole passage. Here's what he says. You cannot serve God and. You cannot serve God and. So he says, you cannot serve. What matters is God. I would think we think that. We say that. We agree to that. You're here probably today because you, on some level, agree with that. Like, I am here to serve God. I love Jesus. I love what he's done for me. I love the forgiveness that I've received in Him. I love Him. I love just whatever. All of that package of who Jesus is. I don't want to say whatever. That's an incredible package. But he goes on and says, the things that don't matter is your savings. And I just put that in there because it's kind of the same word here. It said you have your money, your stuff. The second thing he says then in this verse, you cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. Depending on your translation, it may say the word mammon, M-A-M-M-O-N, because it was kind of this word that's interestingly translated. And the word is a collection of all of that stuff. That's what it means here. It means your wealth, your material possessions, your earthly goods, your property, every kind of valuable or material good. So that's why Jesus didn't just say, hey, you can't just serve God and your paycheck. You can't just serve God and your checkbook. He says you cannot serve both God and be enslaved to mammon, to all of it, to any of it. Anything of value that you are pursuing fits in that category. And Jesus says you can't do both. And you need to decide which is more important, Jesus or your stuff, Jesus or your savings, Jesus or your money, Jesus or your job, because he is the most important and you can't do both. You can't be free and a slave. Like, again, he's breaking down the same thing. This versus that, now versus then, temporary versus eternal, God versus our money, our things versus pursuing Jesus. Because he's making a case here because it's a big deal. He goes on and says, and the next thing is your faith. And now what I'm about to read here, perhaps if you've grown up in church, you've heard these passages, this passage that I'm reading to you now, but you probably haven't heard them together because usually we stop. You know, your standard church teacher stops right after we do that. You cannot serve God and money. Thank you. Have a good day. See you next week. And then this, which is the very next verse, the very same breath, very same phrase, very same statement from Jesus, very same sermon. Jesus says this, that is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. This is usually another sermon. This is usually another day. This is the day where we're going to talk about trusting God. And we can trust God for everything. Don't worry, God's got it all. Which is true, but it's tied directly to stop focusing on things that don't matter. And then he says, trust me. Don't worry about the rest of it. You can't do it both. He says, I tell you not to worry about everyday life, because that's what we do. We're like, well, I want to pursue Jesus. I want to follow Jesus. But what about my family? What about my needs? What about food? What about clothing? And Jesus says, okay, then decide. Do you want to follow the stuff, the job, the need, the money? Or do you want to follow me? Because if you follow me, don't worry about the rest. Trust me. Have faith, because I will provide all of it. He says, I'll get to that in a second. So whether you have enough food or drink, clothing to wear. He says the contrast here, you're good, you're with me. The contrast here is your plan. Because that's where it comes down to. Like, this is my plan. This is what I've worked out. This is how it's going to come down. These are the details. This is the way it's going to work. These are how many hours I need to get. This is the situation I need to have. This is the house that I want to have. These are all these things. And Jesus says, no, it's got to be about your faith in him, not your plan. And that's the second part of this verse. He says then, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Jesus says, hold on a second. Before you get caught up in all this stuff over here, and sorry if you're sitting on this side, you guys are the good guys, you guys are the bad. But, you know, is it all this stuff? Like, isn't life more than this? I mean, take a moment to think about it. Really? Really? Is it really worth that, you know, pair of pants, those sneakers, that phone, that car, that house? Because Jesus said, hey, remember just a few seconds ago when I said it's all disposable, it's temporary, it's not going to last? Jesus says, think about it for a moment. Just take a step back. Isn't your life more than food? Like, don't you appreciate things more than that? Don't you appreciate the relationships you have, the friendships you have, far more than the phone that you have? They're like, oh, this is awesome, but I can't wait to get the new one that's going to break too. Like, Jesus says, take a second here and consider this, because if you follow me, pursue me, because you can't do both. You can't do both. He says, trust me. I'm going to come through. And I, Sean Fitch, stand here as living proof of that. Like, I was just thinking the other day how amazing it is, the things that I get to do and experience. And I mean, we're redoing our kitchen, and you're like, how do you afford that? We can't. And God's like working out all these details in these crazy cool ways. And we're like, what in the world? How is it possible? And I feel on some level there, and not that this is, if I do that, God will give me money. It's not what I'm saying. But I feel like God's saying, hey, you trust me, and I'm going to work it out. And I mean, you are in a building that is God's trust. Like, you are part of a church, a congregation that is based on trust and faith in what God is going to do. And I was reflecting back on that. I don't know who I was talking to or thinking about just recently, about that first Sunday. And I remember we all met here the night before, and we prayed, and there were like, you know, 30 of us. And you know, launch Sunday, we were preparing for, promoting. And there were like 32 of us that next day. And how it was like, oh man, is this going to work? Oh God, what are we doing? Okay, you told us to do this. We're going to trust you. Doesn't make sense on paper. Financially, I mean, you've heard the story probably before. I mean, the biggest thing that I was told, that if we started a church to reach unchurched people, you're not going to be able to afford it. There's no way. Those people don't give money to Jesus. And I'm not. I'm telling you, people that don't have conversations together and like, hey, let's all get together and tell Saul. No, these are all completely random people. It was all about this. You know, that's not going to work. And I'll tell you, there were a couple of weeks and months where we're like, oh man, okay, God, you called me to do this, and if it's not going to work, then I guess I'm trusting you for that too. But dude, I mean, like, wow. It's amazing what God has done. And there's just so many stories in our own lives. And Jesus says, look, there's bigger things at stake here. There's things that are more important. So he says, we need to build a fence between the things that don't matter, the things that matter. The things that matter, the things that don't. There we go. Get that in the right order there. So. Because things that matter, eternal things matter, disposable things don't. Your heart matters. Your stuff doesn't matter. Your perspective matters, how you see this versus your appearance and what other people see of you. Your freedom, that's much better than being a slave to something else that's driving you. Your Savior matters far more than your savings. And your faith matters far more than your plan. Because our plans, I mean, we've got our plans, we've got ideas, and we do things. And the problem isn't that we say, hey, I'm going to plan. Like, you know, I'm going to set an alarm so that I wake up tomorrow. That's a plan. The problem is when we take our plan, and if God says, no, I'm changing that, we go, no, you're not. That's really where it becomes the issue. So we need to build a fence to focus on these things. Because fences in our finances protect our investments for eternity. And I'm just saying, like, this is so insidious. It's so sneaky. It goes under the surface, and before we know it, we're like over here, and we're like, what happened? And I'm saying, please, 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 don't be deceived. Don't let the darkness of your eyes make you think, oh, I'm cool, I'm good, this is the right way, this is what Jesus wants. And please, can we just be honest? There are a lot of people that are misrepresenting what the Bible says. I'm not going to say any names, but typically they're on television. And typically they say things like, you give now, God will give you more money. Just read Job, read Habakkuk, read the disciples. Like, it doesn't work that way. But if we invest in Jesus, everything else doesn't even matter. And so, again, this idea of fences, like, what are we going to do? What am I going to say? Okay, you know, this is an area I don't want to get caught up into this. So we need to build some fences. We need to create some boundaries so we don't get sucked into that. And they're going to look like different things. But again, most of you, I think, would say, no, I love Jesus. I want to pursue Jesus. But when it comes down to the habit of it, it doesn't always happen that way. And so it's sometimes hard to see that. We know that in a mirror, you can't see things in a mirror that everybody else can see in you right away. And so I'm going to just throw out some things to get you thinking. And this is for you to say, okay, is this me? This isn't for me to say this is you. This isn't, I mean, maybe you can talk to your spouse about it. Maybe your children, that would probably be appropriate. But this isn't for someone else to call out, oh, that's you. But to say, let's take a deep look at ourselves, a hard look at ourselves. And so what I've come up with are, with the alliteration, phrases from a fouled up focus. And these are things that perhaps, if you hear yourself saying these things, then maybe your focus is not where it should be when it comes to your finances, when it comes to material things, to your stuff, to that kind of that whole package, to that mammon that Jesus talked about. And because it's easy to say, yeah, I love Jesus. No, I don't love the world. But sometimes these things are ways that get caught up in the mix. So if you hear yourself say this, maybe just take a moment and say, okay, wait. Okay, do I need to change something? Do I need to build a fence? Do I say, okay, that's a line I'm not going to cross anymore? The first phrase is, once I have enough, dot, dot, dot. If you have said, well, once I have enough, then I'll get married. I hear that one all the time from couples. Well, once we have enough. Dude, I've been married for 20 years almost in a couple of months, and I still don't have enough. I don't know what enough is. But this idea of, well, once I have enough, then I'll get married. Once I have enough, then I'll go serve God on a missions team. Once I have enough, then I'll spend more time with my family. Once I have enough, if you're saying that, danger. This is a phrase that means your focus is wrong, because once I have enough says, once I got this figured out, then I'll do this thing. And Jesus says, no, trust me with this and I will provide that. And this is what in Luke, by the way, it says, go back a second there for me, Billy. In this idea, it's your goal is your security. It's the end. That once you've got enough, the goal is security. Once I've got what I need, once I've got it all figured out, once I have enough, then I'll be okay. Then I'll be secure. And our goal shouldn't be our security. Our goal should be our Savior. In Luke chapter 12, this is Jesus saying, well, this is here. Then Jesus said, he's talking to the Pharisees. He says, beware! Beware! There's an exclamation point there. He's making a statement here. Guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own. Okay, yeah, Jesus, that's cool. I get that. Then he told him a story. He said, a rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. He said to himself, what should I do? I don't have room for all my crops. Then he said, I know. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And listen to what he says here. Then I'll have room enough to store all of my wheat and other goods. And I'll sit back and say to myself, my friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy. He says, okay, once I get enough, I know what I'll tear it down. Then I can just sit back and be like, I've got it. I've arrived. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool. You fool. You will die this very night. Then who will get everything you worked for? Jesus says, look, this guy is saying, I'm investing in this thing now here. And he says, no, it's temporary. You're going to die. And all that stuff you invested all your time in isn't going to matter. And then you're going to be here and go, oh, I've got nothing. He says, yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God. If it's a, once I have enough, then you're in a dangerous spot. You're saying, okay, once I can have enough that I can build these bigger barns and store my stuff, then I'll trust God. And Jesus says, no, 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 don't miss it. No, danger. Beware. Guard against this. Build a fence so that you don't get caught up in this idea of once I have enough, when your plan becomes the priority. The second phrase you might hear is, here's what I need to do. Here's what I need to do. And this idea says, okay, I've worked out my plan. I'm going to do this, and after this many years, then I'll set this goal, and then I'll retire from here, and then this will take over, and then I'll cover up. And we've got this whole idea of our plan. And again, there's nothing wrong with a plan. But if the plan is my plan and I need to, and this is how it's going to work out, and this is the way it's going to go down, and this is what I want to do, you're in a dangerous spot because your plan becomes your priority. If your plan is your priority, you've missed it. Your plan, Jesus' plan, needs to be your priority. In Luke chapter 12, and this is actually Luke's perspective on the same passage that we were just looking at in Matthew. Matthew and Luke were both there. He says, and don't be concerned about what to eat and what to drink. Don't worry about such things. And just as a little side here, he says, these things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers all over the world. Jesus is like, you're worrying about your stuff because you've got your plan. He's like, that's what people that don't follow me worry about. Are you what? You're an unbeliever? I thought you were a follower of Jesus. He says, but your Father already knows your needs. God knows what you need. He's a loving Father. And so what does Jesus say? Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Not your plan, His plan. What is God's kingdom? What does Jesus want for me? Not what do I want for me, or what would work best on paper, or what my advisor said, or what my parents said, or what my friend has that said you should do this, or my boss. None of those things. It's what does Jesus want for me? And then seek that first, and God's going to provide everything else. He will give you everything you need. He doesn't say some things. He says everything. So don't be afraid, little flock. Like, do you hear the comfort there from Jesus? He says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. For it gives your Father great happiness to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to those in need. Wow. That sounds like Luke 12:33. Oh, it is Luke 12:33. Honestly, it wasn't planned to time up like that. He says, sell your possessions and give to those in need. This will store up treasure for you in heaven. And the purses of heaven never get old or develop holes. Your treasure will be safe. No thief can steal it and no moth can destroy it. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be. Again, Luke's perspective on the same passage there. But Jesus says, look, it's about seeking God's kingdom and God's plan, not my plan. And not working out what I need to do. And going to the spot and saying, God, what do you want me to do? And as we'll see in a moment, what God wants you to do might not always make sense with your plan. It might not always fit your scheme. And I will tell you this, that your scheme sucks compared to God's. Your plan is miserable. It's awful. Like, you can follow it all you want, but when it comes to what Jesus wants for you, He's got some amazing, incredible, wonderful opportunities for you. And you're like, no, I don't want that, because I'm going to follow my little stupid plan here, because I think my plan's great, because it's my plan. It's like, no, seek God's kingdom first. If you find yourself saying, here's what I need to do, then you might have a fouled up focus. Third thing that you might hear yourself say is, I need a bigger, or I need a newer, or I need a nicer, ... Well, someday I'm going to get a bigger house. Someday I'm going to get a nicer car. I'm going to get a faster phone. I'm going to get a better hat. I don't know, because you need hats, I guess. But if you find yourself in a spot where you're not content with where you are and you're saying, I want something else. I want the next. I want the better. I want the faster. And do you understand that that is what the United States economy is built on? Okay? We enjoy our freedom. We love it. We love capitalism. We love the free society. But it's built on the fact that they're saying you don't have enough. Get that. Don't be misread. Like, what is the commercial? Yes, exactly. It's telling you what you need to get. What is an ad on YouTube? It's telling you what you need and why you can't be content with what you have. A billboard. I mean, all of it. It's built on that. And just be real with that. But on the other side of that, that means you're not content. You're discontent with what God has provided for you. You're discontent with your provision. In 1 Timothy 6, this is what Paul writes to Timothy. He says, but godliness, he kind of shares some things right before that. He says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. And this phrase, great gain, means it is actually an investment that really makes a difference. If you want to invest in something, like, this is the most profitable investment that you could possibly get involved in. This has the highest level of return. This has like a 3,000% interest return rate. Godliness with contentment. Saying, okay, I love Jesus and I'm content with what I've got. He said, for we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. Sounds like the guy with his barns. Hey, look at all the stuff I've got. Look at my things. And Jesus is like, you're going to be dead, and then what? And here Paul is saying the same thing. You brought nothing into this world, you can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Like, all of you are wearing clothing right now. And you look fairly comfortable, and you might be like, well, it's not the newest, it's not the nicest. Who cares? Go to Oaxaca. Take a moment. Like, oh, that child, they're wearing old sandals and I would say a Patriots lost a Super Bowl jersey, but they don't have those. They always have the losing team Super Bowl clothing down there. Just, that's where it goes. But just take a moment. Like, is your roof made of recycled corrugated metal? Like, you're far richer than most of the world. And we're like, but that's not enough. I need more. I need better. My house isn't quite good enough. I need to improve this thing. I need to get this next thing. Just let's be content and say, God, look what you've given us. We are eating. We have food. We have clothing. We have shelter. He says, we need to be content with that. And then we go, God, thank you. Because that's also part of our worship. That's part of our thanksgiving. That's part of all the package, saying, yeah, God, I know that I didn't earn this. This is from you. And I'm so grateful for what you've given me. And maybe I've told you guys this before, but I had an uncle, my Uncle Jimmy. And he was a single guy, much older, kind of a recluse, lived on a lake by himself. Like kind of the classic, like if he were to be a Unabomber, it would probably be him. Just kind of a different fellow. And when I was young, I was in second grade, as a matter of fact, I remember distinctly, he wanted to get a gift for his nephew for Christmas. And he got me a strawberry shortcake notebook. Like, come on, man. I'm already short. I got big old ears. And now I got the strawberry shortcake notebook. And I just remember, I don't know if it was my mom or my dad just pulling me aside and said, you know, he worked hard to get you that. He wanted to get you that because he wanted to do something. And so suddenly this strawberry shortcake notebook, that it wasn't like subtle, okay? It was like strawberry with her big fat hat, you know, doing something with, like, have a stupid day with strawberries, girlfriend. And I remember going, wait a second, this isn't just something stupid. This is something that he took the time and effort to get for me. And so let me tell you, I rocked the strawberry shortcake notebook in second grade. People made fun of me for it, but I'm like, you know what? It's okay because he gave this to me, and it was valuable because he gave it to me. And how often do we have all these things that God gives us, and we're like, well, that's just not good enough. Because godliness, because contentment is great gain. And then he goes on and says, those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. He says, look, even if we're not going to, we start pursuing this, you're going to get caught in a trap. You're going to be, it's going to be ruinous. That's a word. And destructive. He says, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And then I underline this because it's not really part of what we're saying here, but he says, some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. And let me tell you something. Can I just be honest as a pastor? Not a pastor, but as a pastor. Money is tied so often to marriage troubles. It is tied so often to people walking away from Jesus, walking away from church, getting caught up in things. Money, and I mean, that is, it is the root. No, I need this job. I can't work on Sunday, or I can't be there on Sunday. It's okay. God will forgive me. He loves me. Yes, he does, and yes, he will. But you miss what really matters, and suddenly you're like, why is my life falling apart? Because you are pursuing money and not Jesus. And, I mean, again, I could list them. I would be inappropriate. But I could just list, here's this person, here's why money causes this issue. Here's this person, here's why money causes this issue. And it breaks my heart because it doesn't have to be this way. It doesn't have to be this way. We need to pursue Jesus. And all of those things will come together. He will provide those things. So, if you're looking at, I need a bigger, newer, nicer, beware. Beware, you might be hooked. The next thing, and I had a hard time figuring out how to encapsulate this, but what I put was, what have you done? And that this is Dad Sean speaking. What have you done? That plastic cup is broken now. And how dare you break that plastic cup? It's so funny, right? But dude, have we not been there about stupid stuff and we get so angry about it? And instead, our possessions replace our people. Our possessions become more important than our people. And I'm not saying we don't care. Stewardship, managing, all that, that's important. But we need to be careful that it's not about the stuff instead of the people. It's not about the possessions and not the people. And maybe this comes to other ways. You know, maybe this works out as a tip to a waiter, a server at your restaurant. Like, no, you don't deserve that because the food in the back was bad. And so we have this line where like money is important and people aren't. And that's dangerous. This is what James says. And listen to what he says here. He's not very nice. He's not very polite. Look here, you rich people. Weep and groan with anguish. By the way, you rich people, you are in this room. You are in the United States. That's you. Let's just be clear here, okay? You rich people, weep and groan with anguish because of all the terrible troubles ahead of you. Your wealth is rotting away and your fine clothes are moth-eaten rags. Well, that sounds like what Jesus is saying. Your gold and silver are corroded. The very wealth you were counting on will eat away your flesh like fire. This corroded treasure you have hoarded will testify against you on the day of judgment. Jesus says, look, or James says, look, don't get caught up in all this stuff. It's all going away, just like Jesus said. Listen, hear the cries of the field workers whom you have cheated of their pay. The cries of those whose harvest your fields have reached, have reached the ears of the Lord of heaven's armies. James says, look, you people, you rich people, there are people all around you that you have cheated, that you have taken advantage of because you have made your money more important than them. And he's saying to these rulers, these field managers, essentially, say, look, you've got people that are working for you and you've been cheating them all along because money is more important than the people. He said, I know about that now. He says, you have spent your years on earth in luxury, satisfying your every desire. You have fattened yourself for the day of slaughter. You have condemned and killed innocent people who do not even resist you. What's he saying? He says, look, we get so caught up in our possessions. And the people James is speaking to here says, look, you guys are caught up in your stuff. And there are people that maybe you haven't actually murdered them. That's what murder is, stab. But in your treatment of them, you might as well have. And we have this idea that our possessions and our stuff are so important. And again, if you've got an heirloom, it's okay to be heartbroken. And we talked about last week, if you're angry, that's not the moment you discipline. But we just need to be careful that possessions don't become more important than people. Because people will last to eternity and possessions will not. So, what have you done? What have you done? And then the last phrase, I should have said five phrases from a fouled up focus, because that would have fit. The last phrase is, I can't afford that right now. And when this phrase comes up, it is not usually when someone is presenting you with the best new TV. It's not the next thing being offered to you on an Amazon ad banner. It's usually when it comes down to giving. We can afford the rest of it, but when it comes to giving, I can't afford that right now. It doesn't balance in my budget. Once I work it out, Jesus, then I'll give you. I'll give what you need. And your giving is based on your budget. And if your giving is based on your budget, then you have a fouled up focus. You're in danger. If you're saying, once I have enough, then I will give, you are in a bad spot. Well, wait, what about our books? I don't care. It's not about your books or your plan or your stuff. It's about your Jesus. And this is what 2 Corinthians says here. He says, now I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God in his kindness has done through the churches in Macedonia. Paul is speaking to this church in Corinth. He says, listen about this church in Macedonia. They are being tested by many troubles. They're going through a really hard time, and they're very poor. But they are also filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in rich generosity. For I can testify, I can tell you, that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more. And they did it of their own free will. Jesus talks about money more than almost anything else. And every time it's not about, well, once you work it out, give me what's left over. Every time it's about giving God everything that you've got and let him deal with the rest of it. Not giving God what's left over after we've dealt with it. We looked in our offer series about the idea of giving from the first fruits. Like, we're not going to give when we have leftover. We're giving to God first, and we'll let him deal with the leftover. And maybe the leftover means you have to get rid of that super amazing, phenomenal TV plan you have. You know what? It's okay. Because that super phenomenal TV plan, one, isn't going to last an eternity. And two, it's going to go up again next month anyway. But maybe if you're investing in what Jesus wants, And this idea of I can't afford to give right now, maybe it's offering here on Sunday morning. Maybe it's the needs around you. I just can't afford that right now. That's a little bit too big for me. And I just want to tell you, can we throw QuickBooks out the window for a moment? Can we get rid of the ledger and just say, you know what, if God is calling me to do this, I'm going to do it even if it doesn't work on paper. Just trust Him. Because He said, seek first in the kingdom and all these things are provided. Do not worry about what you're wearing because I'm going to give you everything. Make Jesus the focus because Jesus is going to last for eternity. These things aren't. And this idea of giving, we just give Him and trust Him for the rest. And if it's any other way, you are not living on faith. I'll be blunt. You can say you love Jesus, but you're not acting like it. If it's about your plan, if it's about your money, if it's about your account, if it's about your bottom line, and not about what God wants, seek His kingdom first, giving your first fruits, giving above and beyond what you can afford, then you're just trusting in yourself. And guess what? You're going to lose. Because you are a sinful human being. You're a failure on your own. And that's where Jesus stepped in and said, I'm everything you need. And I'm going to clean you up and I'm going to perfect you and I'm going to bring you into eternity. What are you bringing with you? Or is it just rotting here on earth? So if you're saying one of those things, once I have enough, here's what I need to do. I need a bigger, newer, nicer. What have you done? Or I can't afford that right now. Just beware. Just beware. Look deep and say, okay, am I getting caught up in something that's not going to last? And I know that this is hard. I know it doesn't make sense. But I know that you are not as amazing as God. And if you're going, well, let me see how I can figure it out. Okay, good luck with that. And then when you're pierced with many sorrows and griefs, I'll say, I told you so. And that's the beautiful thing. Jesus is like, I told you so. Come on. Come in here. I got you. So it's not too late. We're not done. But we need to really check, where is our focus? We need to create fences, because fences in our finances protect our investments for eternity. Like, these things are going to last and these things are going to matter, not the here and now. And I already referred to this, and I'm running a little late, sorry. But there's two series that we did, one called Funds, it's up there, and then one called Offer. If you go to mc3church.org, these, are four, I think they're both 4-week series that really go into depth looking at money and finances and investment and spending and giving and all that. So you're welcome to listen to those and check out some more. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that we can trust you. I thank you that your kingdom is better than anything we could even ask or imagine. And your plan is amazing. And you are a loving, gracious Father who when we ask, doesn't give us a stone or a snake, as your word says, but you give us what we need. And I pray that you would help us to trust you and that we would be able to just put behind us to build a fence around this and say, okay, we're not going to let the world or culture or our boss or any of these things affect our view of our finances, of our stuff, and just trust you for it. God, I pray that you would bring all of these things together and that we can stand back and say, wow, look at what you've done. But I know that this is a big step. This is a hard step. And if we find that we've gotten hooked into some of these areas, help us to, again, create that boundary, create that fence so that we don't allow ourselves to get dragged down that path. Thank you that you're worth it. Thank you that you're amazing. And thank you that you can provide everything and that our life is so much more than our stuff. And you've even got our stuff in your hands. Help us to trust you for it and pursue your kingdom above everything else. In Jesus' name, amen.